Well, finally today, David Grimm, the online news editor of Science, is here with a few notable stories from our daily news site. First, David, a new vaccine that's seriously cool, and I guess that's not just hyperbole.
No, that's true, Stuart. The reason they're calling it a cool vaccine is because it's actually based on bacteria that live in the polar regions of the Earth. And what's interesting about these bacteria is because they grow in such cold environments, they could actually die if you put them in a warmer environment like our body, and that's because their enzymes are really suited to working at these cold temperatures. And if you heat the bacteria up too much or a lot hotter than they're used to, these enzymes stop working and the bacteria die. Now, the reason researchers are interested in these bacteria is because when researchers try to develop vaccines, a lot of times they'll use pieces of viruses or pieces of bacteria to help stimulate the body's immune response. Sometimes they'll even use whole viruses and bacteria. But the problem with using these whole organisms, as it were, is that you don't want to be putting live organisms in your body if they could cause problems.
Right.
So the idea with the cold bacteria is you would put the bacteria in your body. The body would respond to it because the bacteria are there, but the bacteria would quickly die or would only live in the cold parts of your body where it couldn't spread to places where it could do damage.
Well, that sounds good in principle. What do you do to actually test this?
So what the researchers did here is they started out with a relative of a bacteria that actually causes problems in humans. This bacteria has actually been classified as a bioweapon, and they took a relative of this bacteria, and this is a bacteria that grows at our body temperature. What they did is they took out a few essential genes in this bacteria, genes that this bacterium needs to live, and they inserted analogous genes from these really cold bacteria. And what they ended up with was this genetically modified bacteria that resembles a bacteria that can do us harm, but that can't really survive in the body because it's got these proteins that can only work at low temperatures.
And then they put this into a living system and just saw what happened?
Exactly. And they didn't use people. That wouldn't really be ethical. But what they did was they took rats and they injected bacteria into the tails of rats. And what's notable about the tails of rats is that these tails are actually cooler than the rest of the rat's body. So these bacteria could survive in the tails. But usually what happens is when these bacteria move into other parts of the body, like the lungs or the heart, that's where they cause their damage. But these bacteria didn't do that in the rats because these parts of the body were a lot warmer and the bacteria couldn't survive there. And so what happened was these bacteria just sort of hung out in the tails of the rats where they weren't causing damage, but they were still in the rat's body. So the rats mounted an immune response against these bacteria that protected them when the researchers tried to cause a disease related to these bacteria in the rats a few weeks down the line. The bottom line was that you could inject these relatively harmless bacteria into the rats, immunize the rats, but the bacteria weren't going to cause any problems.
Well, you know, rodents are all well and good, but what does this mean for the rest of us?
Well, this definitely seems to could have applications for humans. The researchers talk about tuberculosis. There's a tuberculosis vaccine that's been around for a long time and is actually not terribly effective. And they say if we can modify the pathogen that causes tuberculosis with these cold enzymes, maybe we could create a much more effective vaccine. But there's still safety concerns. The problem with bacteria is they tend to mutate very quickly. So even if you put a bacteria in your body that's only supposed to grow at cold temperatures, there's a chance it could develop mutations that would allow it to survive at much warmer temperatures. And then you've got the same problems you would have with a normal bacteria.
So still some work to be done.
Exactly.
But speaking of microbes, you've got another story about all the unique viruses in my personal gut. What can you tell me about that?
Well, that's right, Stuart. This next story is all about all of the different kinds of viruses that live in our intestines, something we probably don't like to think about. But it turns out that we already knew that there are billions of bacteria living in our gut. There's actually more bacteria in our gut than there are cells in our gut. And researchers knew that there were viruses in there too, what they call phages. And these are viruses that don't really attack us. They attack bacteria. But they wanted to figure out if everybody has a unique viral signature. We know that everybody actually has a unique bacterial signature. You and I, even though we have lots of bacteria in our guts, the bacteria that you and I have are actually very different. Researchers want to see if the same is true for these phages. And so what they did, which is kind of disgusting, is that they took fecal samples from four sets of Missouri-born female identical twins and their mothers. And they purified these samples. They actually took samples over the course of the year because they wanted to see, do these viral communities change over time? They sequenced the viruses they got out of this poop, as it were. And what they found was that just like bacteria, each person had their own unique viral signature. Even identical twins had very different kinds of viruses living in their respective guts. And it was actually much different than what the researchers saw from bacteria. With bacteria, identical twins share about 50% of the same bacteria. But with viruses, there was very little overlap. meaning that even people that are very closely related have very different populations of viruses in their gut.
So it's almost like a viral gut print, if you
will. It is. It's like a viral fingerprint for your gut.
So what explains all this?
That's a really good question. Researchers really don't know, A, where these viruses are coming from, or B, why they are so diverse, although they suspect that there's just so many different kinds of these viruses out there that just statistically, even if you've got people that are closely related, there's just so many different kinds of these viruses that you're just not going to have the same viral fingerprint from person to person. There's just too much diversity. And beyond that, the researchers are hoping that, you know, when we look at what's happening in our guts, not just the guts themselves, but actually what's living in there, like viruses and bacteria, they can actually give a bit of a clue to the health of our gut. So they're hoping that this research isn't just sort of a fun, hey, we've all got different viruses in our guts, but it actually might have some applications to human health down the line.
Okay, great. And finally, getting out of the microbial realm, why gorillas play tag. First, David, just what is a game of tag when you're a gorilla?
Well, Stuart, it's actually surprisingly similar to what you would see with children playing tag. What researchers have observed gorillas doing in zoos and reserves and wildlife reserves is that sometimes a gorilla will sneak up on another gorilla, pull his hair or hit him, and then run away, sometimes with his mouth open. And then sometimes the other gorilla will give chase and sometimes not. You can actually see a video of this on the site. And often this first gorilla, when that round is done, will come back and do the same thing again. And it's very much like a game of tag, like tagged you, run away, and then do it again. So researchers are wondering, why are they doing this? Is this just sort of them playing around? I mean, we know animals play. Is it just a regular play behavior, or does it have deeper implications?
And so did researchers go in and start tagging gorillas?
they didn't. But what they did was they studied 3 years of video of gorillas at various zoos and reserves in places in Germany and Switzerland. And they looked at a lot of this tagging behavior. And they noticed some patterns. And one of the patterns they noticed was that the tagger tended to be a lower status gorilla than the taggee. Gorilla society is a bit of a hierarchy. You've got your alpha gorillas and you've got gorillas that are sort of lower down on the totem pole, as it were. And what the researchers were seeing was that these lower status gorillas were usually the ones that were hitting the other gorillas and running away. And the reason they think that's significant is because there's a big question about whether non-human animals can sense fairness. You know, does a dog know when you're being fair to him and not his sister, for example? And they think they've seen this a little bit in monkeys in laboratory experiments, but this really hasn't been tested in a more natural setting. And that's what's happening that's what they're doing with the gorillas here. And the reason I bring up unfairness is the researchers think the reason that these lower status gorillas are slapping these higher status gorillas and running away is because it's their one chance to say, look, I know I'm low status, but I'm going to hit you and get away with it. That's not something I can do in real life, but in the context of this game, I can do that.
So they can tweak the higher ups without getting into serious trouble.
Without repercussions, exactly. And that actually even has larger implications because of what it says is the gorillas have a sense of the social constructs of their society. They have some sort of sense of there's gorillas on the top and there's gorillas on the bottom, and they feel this inequity, especially if they're one of those gorillas on the bottom, and this is their way to try to make up for it or at least get a temporary ego boost. So it's all plays into this idea that animals, non-human animals, can sense unfairness, and especially in the gorilla's case, they're actually doing something about it.
Okay, great. Well, what other stories are you looking into this week on the news site?
Well, Stuart, for Science Now, we're looking into stories about how diamonds can reveal where volcanoes are going to form, and also a story about a malaria-proof mosquito. And for Science Insider, Science's policy blog, we continue our very extensive oil spill coverage. We've got a story this week about an expert committee that's being formed to figure out exactly what caused the rig explosion and why the oil spill started in the first place. And we've also got a story from Science Insider about a new journal that's been launched that's taking very wacky papers. So be sure to check out all of these stories on the site.
Wacky papers. David Grimm is the online news editor of Science. You can check out the latest science news in the policy blog Science Insider at news.sciencemag.org.